From Tickertape, this is Where's My Money? Picking the perfect stock to invest in isn't always easy. And the reason behind this is very simple. It's impossible to predict with absolute certainty the direction a particular stock will move in. And even if you've digested all of the information in the world about a particular company, it's still extremely difficult to predict its stock price trajectory. And this is often why most people suggest index or mutual funds, because you're able to diversify the risk that a single stock brings with it. But what if you want to stock pick? What if you want to try your hand at finding the perfect stock to invest in for your portfolio? If you're at all interested in learning more about the exact ways to mitigate risks while stock picking, this episode will be perfect for you. And to do this, we spoke to Hansi Mehrotra. She's the founder of Money Management India, and this is her second appearance on the podcast. And we started the conversation by defining what stock picking is.
Firstly, there is trading and there is investing, okay? And they're two different things. So a lot of times that when I speak to people who are doing stock picking, they're actually doing it for trading purposes. They want to buy it. It could be day trading. They want to buy it during the day and get out within the day, or for short term, a week or two or month or two or things like that. They say they're long term, but then that's only about maybe a year, if that. That's not really investing, because if you break it down to what is investing, so what are you trying to do? You're trying to buy a slice of a company that is going to create profits in the future, and you hope will distribute those profits. At least as a shareholder, you are entitled to those profits. So unless you go and sell it in the secondary market, you are now entitled to the profits of the company forever. So you have to obviously understand that company, and that is called fundamental analysis. You are trying to understand what the company does, in what industry, what are the dynamics of that industry. You're doing a Porter analysis of that industry. Say, for example, you're picking a car manufacturer, okay? So you want to know how many cars demand are there, what is the supply situation, who the competitors are, what are the inputs, raw materials, what are they selling for? Therefore, what is the profitability of the company, of the industry, and then of the company? What are the chances of that company increasing market share? Okay, all of this is called fundamental analysis. And it starts with a macro picture and then an industry analysis, a Porter analysis, and you get to what the income stream will be at the company level. Then you look at the balance sheet and say how many stocks are outstanding. So how many number of shares outstanding, including preference shares and ESOPs given out. And then you divide that company's earnings, divide by the number of shares outstanding, and you come up with a price for each share. Say you think it's worth 300 rupees and right now it's trading at 250. So you think, okay, it should be worth 300. Today it's trading at 250. Let me go and buy it. Second piece is called valuation. You deciding that it should be worth 300 and it's currently trading at 250. You think it's undervalued and therefore you have just given it a valuation. Now, how I value it is what the game has become. How do I value this slice of the company that will give me this future dividends? And the thing is, there is no right answer. So investing is not like physics, where there are rules of nature. Stock picking is not a science. There are no rules. There is no rule that says that it has to be a certain PE or DCF analysis or whatever. There is no right answer ever. It really comes down to what this collection of human beings called the market is willing to pay for that thing. So it's actually a study of human psychology, of group psychology, more than it is of markets and economy and whatever else. Now, there's no correct way, no one way to do valuation. Just like there's no correct or one right way to do fundamental analysis. So you have done it valuation in a certain way. You might have used DCF, which is discounted cash flow. Somebody else has used something else. They might have used price to earnings as a rule of thumb. Now, understand price to earnings is not really a valuation methodology. It's a shortcut for a DCF. Okay, so every valuation measure you see in the market being used is somehow linked back to a DCF.
Could you just define DCF?
Discounted cash flow. So DCF is basically you putting in a spreadsheet what the company earns today. So what its income statement is today, top line, and then the costs, and then the bottom line. And then you project it out usually 10 years. But given that you don't really know what's going to happen beyond maybe 3 years, you end up putting a lot of detail in the first 3-4 years. And then over time, you regress it. You bring all the numbers down to an average for the industry. So you build a 10-year model of which only the first 3-4 years are kind of related to that company. The rest are more a projection for the industry. So understand this. You cannot therefore do a stock fundamental research unless you understand that industry, because you have to put something in. You have to assume that whatever it is you're doing well, other people will copy. There could be new entrants. There could be people leaving. There could be supply disruption. There could be demand disruption. All kinds of things could happen. So DCF is a formula that you put into a spreadsheet where for which you need obviously the company's earnings, but you need a discount rate. The discount rate is usually the risk-free rate, which is the cash rate for that country. And then it's adjusted or it's increased by a risk premium, which is applied to that industry and or that company. So the cash-free rate might be, say, 5%, but I apply a discount rate of 7% or 9%, depending on how risky I see the company. So what I'm doing is I'm saying I've projected the cash flows out, and then to bring it back to today's price, I need to apply a discount rate.
That makes complete sense. And so let's say that somebody decides to take this path on. They want to know where to get started. I want to start by talking about the most important factor that you just mentioned. It's that, can you evaluate group psychology? Could you talk about why that's important?
So now the question is, okay, say you've done this in a spreadsheet. Now, anyone could have done this. Yes, your model could be slightly better than mine, depending on how deep you dig into the industry and therefore the company's fundamentals. Okay, so your spreadsheet might be better. But in the 20 years that I've been an analyst, 20 years ago, having a fancy model was a competitive advantage. Today, you can buy models or rent models off the shelf. So the point is, you don't longer have to go and build the model yourself. So then the question is, okay, if I don't have to build the model, they already tell me what this particular car manufacturer is going to make. And they not only tell me what they're going to make, but also the industry analysis, but also they give me consensus forecasts, which means what is the average forecast for that stock. So that's usually widely available. So you as an analyst can take that number and plug it into your model and you say, okay, now I've come up with this valuation. Now, here is where you realize that with the same balance sheets, financial statements, you may have come to a different conclusion for valuation than what I have. It may be because you've come to a different forecast for the fundamental research, or maybe we've come to the same forecast for the fundamental research, but we've applied a different discount rate. And therefore, we come to different valuations. It doesn't really matter whether it was the same fundamental research and different valuation, or different fundamental and different valuation for both. End result is that your valuation target is, you think the company's worth 200, I think it's worth 300, and the current price right now is 250. Okay? So you think it's overvalued and I think it's undervalued. Now, this is where psychology, why did this happen? Because you have a different narrative, a different idea of how the economy and that sector and that company is going to play out. It could be company level things, like you think the CEO is not a great operator and he's not aware of the company's shortcomings and there will be a new competitor coming in. And therefore you are, when you started projecting the company's earnings out, you put them quite low. Whereas I could be, oh, no, I've met the CEO. I had a one-on-one with him and I think he's really impressive and he can see, his peripheral vision can see what is coming and he can totally cater to that. Sort of, this is an individual psychology, right? We are reading company management, not just for that company, but also their competitors. That's the individual psychology. The group psychology is similar in that there's usually, it's not just you and me. The market is made of many individuals, right? So you basically, if you think this company is going to be worth more in a year's time or 3 years time, you are assessing not only the valuation of that company, but also what the market is going to do in 3 years time. And that's what I mean by group psychology.
So let's think about when you're building your own personal model. Like you said, there are a ton of variables that someone can take into consideration while building these models. It could be the news, it could be the way the industry is moving. But as a starting point, what base research and what things do you think investors should be thinking about while making these informed judgments?
So the starting point, if you're doing stock picking, is the financial statements. And that's why pretty much every broking app, anything, will give you access to financial statements. You could go and get the original PDF document and read through it. So there's three statements. There's the balance sheet, there's the income, which is the profit and loss statement, and there's a cash flow statement. You read all three. You read the footnotes, and then you read the letter as well, the letter that usually accompanies it. And ideally, you should do this not just for one, but the last 3, 4, 5 years. Now, the other thing is that I mentioned earlier that DCF, or price to earnings, is two ways of doing valuation. Now, as investors spend time in the market, they understand the market better. They understand that industry, that sector, their competitors, their overseas investors, all kinds of things better. And they finally, more importantly, understand themselves better. So every investor, every professional investor, ends up developing what is called an investment philosophy. An investment philosophy is a statement. It's like you saying whether you believe in God or not. And if you do, you behave differently in life versus if you don't. Similarly, an investment philosophy is saying, what do I know to be true about the market? You and I may develop different investment philosophies based on our belief on how the markets behave, how they mean revert, i.e. come back to normal valuation, and three, what we can do about it. So you and me may believe the same thing, but you may be a better judge of the charts, and I may be a better judge of people. So therefore, you and me may come to a different conclusion of what our investment philosophy is and how we therefore behave in the market. And if you are going to be a stock picker, over time, you should develop a philosophy. Because if you don't, what happens is when you are faced with something that you haven't seen coming, you will panic and you will have to do research at that point from scratch.
So you're developing this investment philosophy. What are the key components that you need to think about when making your investment philosophy? You have an empty document in front of you. You're writing up your philosophy. What's included in that document?
Basically, there are three statements you have to write. Do you think markets are efficient? How often do they mean revert? How quickly do they mean revert? And then third is, what is your personality like? So they are the three statements that go into your philosophy. And each one of them, unfortunately, requires research. Requires you to either talk to some very, very smart people and then come to your own conclusion, or literally go on the internet and research it. Answers will be different. If there was one right answer, everybody would have found it by now and said, okay, this is our philosophy. It's like colors. You can't say red is better than blue. Okay, there's no such thing. Similarly, value is better than growth. No, there's no such thing. It just depends on your time horizon and who you are as a person, how often you panic and things like that. So there's no one is better than the other. Although in red and blue, there is never a right answer. Whereas in investing, eventually the right answer is whoever made more money.
I think that's a perfect place for us to wrap up. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show again.
You're very welcome. I hope you can make something out of it. And my parting thoughts would be, by all means, stock picking or investing is a fun hobby. Because through investing, you actually understand the world. You understand what is happening in every part of the world, in any industry. And you understand human nature. You understand how your neighbors think, how you think, how your friends think, and also how some other people in the world think. Just remember that you have to put time and you must like it. You must enjoy it. If you don't have time and you don't enjoy it, don't do it.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Where's My Money by Tickertape. On this show, we simplify the finance landscape in India for you. So if you're looking to venture into stock investing, sort out your personal finance, or make sense of how economic developments can impact your money, this podcast will be a perfect addition to your morning commute or household chores. Also, if you enjoyed the episode and want more of this, make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platform to never miss an episode. And last but not least, consider downloading the Tickertape app. It is an investment analysis platform for stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, and much more. The link and further description will be in the show notes below. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we will see you in the next one.